Welcome to the Influence Community Podcast.
We are your hosts, Danielle and Alyssa.
We talk about all things influencing and the ever-changing industry.
We share a lot of tips, our personal experiences, and how to keep up with the social media space that's always evolving.
We also love to chit-chat and share life updates along the way.
We're so happy you're here and so excited for this week's episode.
Grab your drink of choice and let's dive in.
Hey guys.
Hi queens.
Happy new week. Happy Monday if you're listening to this on Monday. We basically talked like an hour and a half before we actually started this recording.
As we do.
Yeah, this one was a little longer than normal, but you know, when you just start talking about things and you talk about therapy and then you just talk about, you know.
Yeah.
It just, yeah. So that, and then we had some technical issues. So hopefully everything is solved. I feel like my audio is a little lagged, but, or my video, I mean, but hopefully.
Yeah, just okay. A little bit. We're really like crossing our fingers and hoping for the best with this one. So we'll see.
Yeah. I feel like this week's episode is kind of a little mix of business and fun. Last week we said we were going to talk about just some tax tips since taxes are coming up. They are due April 15th if you have an LLC, I believe, and individual taxes and all that good stuff. April 15th is tax day. So just some tips on that if you guys haven't started yet or you're kind of finishing up. And then the second half of the episode will be just kind of festival talk, festival things, and all that. Just some recaps. I know we talk about these things every single year, but I feel like sometimes we have new things to add.
Yeah.
Our opinions change on things.
We learn just new things.
Yeah. Just kind of updating on the past year's episode, basically. So it's not ever the same episode twice. So that is what we have on deck for this week. But just starting the episode off with updates, we had a really fun event this weekend with Pixie and Sweat Salt, aka Salt Vault Pilates. We think they're the same thing.
Yeah,
it was a good workout wellness event. The workout for me was not really my vibe. Like, I'm not really into hot workouts.
Well,
I like
it also
AC.
Was in the sun.
Yeah, it was hot.
Yeah.
It was a good workout, but by the end of it, I was kind of done. And honestly, this week, I think I did 6 total workouts with that one. And I think that's the most I've really ever done in a while. So I was just exhausted by the end of the week. So maybe that played a role in my feelings toward that. But they had a sauna cold plunge situation, which was so good. We just did the cold plunge part because I was already so hot from the workout. I was like, I just need to cool down. The cold plunge was so nice. If there's a cold plunge somewhere, I am in it. Like, I
and she keeps love beating her record. Plunge.
I did.
I know you really do.
4 minutes this time, which I think is the longest.
I think what gets me when you do a cold plunge is like there's no emotion, like there's no reactivity, like you're just like in and out, like it's fine.
Well,
and then I'm in it and I'm like
kind of trick your brain. Like you have to trick your brain.
I
like,
know,
oh, this is not a big deal. This is so good for me. And then just deep breathing. And then I feel like it goes by pretty quickly. So
yeah.
But that was fun. And then there was mini lymphatic drainage massages by Miss Lymph, who we love. She's amazing. And also higher dose with the red light therapy stuff.
Love
that. Really cool. I tried this cap that you put on your head, and it's supposed to, it has red lights in the cap, so you just wear the hat like normal, and but it has red lights on the inside, so it's like really good for your scalp health. So that was really cool to try. What else was there? Nosotros tequila, Pixie beauty products. Oh, Science and Soul. I think it's a meal prep company in San Diego. It's like a very, really? It's a very like healthy, nutritious, like meal prep place. Kind of more than just your typical like meat, veggies, carb. It's like very, they like put more into it. And I feel like it leans more on a feminine side. So you don't have to be like eating meat. You know what I mean? So
yeah, I can't remember if they're plant-based or not, but You can like order meals from them.
Yeah. I kind of want to look into it because it was so yummy. We had like a Mexican chopped salad or something like that. And it was so good. But yeah, I feel like overall that event was really fun. Love a good workout event.
And I feel like that's also the new thing right now. I keep seeing like, I feel like Matt Pilates is having a moment right now. I don't know if you've noticed that, but like from New York, the whole Tracy Anderson, have you seen those workouts where girls are just like doing like crazy moves on the mat? Like, I feel like that was kind of fine, but cause it's like kind of like HIIT, like it's kind of like cardio and Pilates, but yeah, it's a different type of workout. That's good.
Yeah. So it was good overall. And we also had an L Space event on, I think it was Thursday. They opened a new store in San Diego at the UTC Mall, and it's so stunning. L Space is such an amazing brand. I love the quality of their stuff. It's so good. Like their swim, their clothes, their workout, it's all so good. It's very quickly become one of my favorite brands, I think, just because they have those soft workout sets that I really, really like. Yeah. Like I like soft, not like scuba-y material, if that makes sense. Like the soft kind of like
I
cotton-y.
Did not know they had that material. Like I've never really owned much from L Space, but their new stuff is really good. I feel like they're really expanding their range. It used to be mostly just swim, right?
Yeah.
And now it's like everything. Ugh, I love everything like I got from them.
Kind of common that brands that kind of start out of swim expand into like workout clothes too. So yeah, that was great. I'm so happy they're in San Diego now. So we did that. And then we got lunch after that, and we spontaneously booked a trip to Paris, you guys. We did
I'm
it.
I'm so like, excited. And it's table, in like 2
booked
weeks.
The flights. Yep. End of April. Booked the flights, booked the hotel. And we're like, well, guess we're going. So
yeah. And in our defense, they were the Airbnbs and like hotel situations the same price as like if we were going to Stagecoach. So it just made sense, you know?
It's like, okay, would we rather be at Stagecoach or in Paris?
Or Paris.
And at that point, it was not a hard decision. So
Very excited. We've never been around this time of year. So we're going to start all the prep and all the outfit planning. I'm so excited.
Me too. I literally cannot wait. And I'm so happy it's so soon because I feel like normally when you book a trip, it's kind of far away. It's like months away. This is literally weeks away. It's like 2 weeks away, basically.
Yeah.
I already got the email notification to check my travel documents.
Oh,
and
my
I'm
God.
Like, oh, I am so ready.
Love that. You're like, we are so back. Also, we booked a very special surprise for the last night of the trip. Ugh. And I'm so excited. It's like our dream come true.
A literal dream. So, and it's at the end of the trip, which is so nice. Yeah. It's like we get to look forward to it the whole time. So you guys will see, and then you'll know, and you'll be like, yeah, they need to do that.
Like it, literally, it is a bucket list item.
It just makes sense. So, so fun. Can't wait to share that. So booked that trip after lunch, and then so exciting. Danielle joined me for weightlifting this week. How do you feel?
Oh my God, I feel so good. I'm still sore, but like it's such a good sore. Like, I love being sore. Like, I know it just reminds me, like, every second of the day that I really put the work in this week. And I just am on it. Well, I guess this is kind of my influence of the week, too. Wait, okay. Maybe give another update. You have one more exciting update, and then I'll go into weightlifting.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so, and then last update was I had my summer buns launch, which was so fun. Completely did a rebrand on it, and just, I feel like, elevated it and made it a little more just chic, elevated, luxurious vibes.
Yes.
And launched some new clips, which I feel like the launch went so well. So many orders.
Yay.
I'm so excited. I have to pack those up this week and send them out. So many supportive friends. I feel like when you see a friend like make a purchase from your shop, you just like get so excited because you're like, oh my gosh, like they were thinking of me, they're supporting me, just like so many supportive girlies. So if you purchased from the launch, thank you so much. I see all the orders and hand pack them with love. Yeah, it's just really fun to see what everyone's interested in too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like
feedback for you.
These are some of my favorite products I think I've ever launched. And so I'm just really excited about them. And it makes me excited for summer and upcoming trips as well. So yeah, launch went great. I love the new branding, the new like colors, fonts, all that, just little things. And I feel like the brand is kind of back to being more me. The colors before were kind of pink and green, and I feel like that's when I was in my color era and all that. So now it's a little more aligned with my personal brand. And even though they're not the same, they're kind of similar, and I feel like it just makes me more excited about it. But yeah, thank you guys for the support, and they are still available if you are interested. And yeah,
cute.
Okay, and then yeah, I guess we could just go into influences of the week this week, since we kind of started yours, but go ahead.
Influence of the week. Alyssa influenced me to do weightlifting because you've been doing weightlifting for a really long time, actually, but you started going to a girl recently and you've talked about it, and you have been going with another girl, like another friend, and she's been doing it for a really long time. So I was like, okay, I got to try this out. Alyssa was really sore when we were doing some workout, and I was like, oh, I'm jealous. Like, I miss being sore. So
no,
like,
we were shooting content, and I was like waddling around because like my legs hurt so bad, to the point where like I couldn't really walk. And then I was wearing heels for my outfit, and it was just not
happening. But like, I just like kind of love that feeling. So I went. And it was so good. Like, the instructor, I think if you're scared of doing weightlifting, like, go to a female led instructor, because she just made me feel so comfortable. And she's just like a really good instructor, honestly. I feel like I didn't feel intimidated by like how much weight I should do. And I started off really small, and I'm honestly shocked at how sore I was, because it doesn't in the moment feel like, okay, I'm lifting like 5 pounds. Like, okay, you know, you don't like think that's a lot, but then your body, I think you're just not normally lifting in that way in like Pilates or other things. Like, if you just go to the gym, I feel like an instructor an instructor is really helpful, because they'll help you with like the exact movements you should be doing. So I'm super excited. I just feel strong. And I don't know. I just feel strong. I feel like I haven't been sore, and I haven't felt this feeling with Pilates in a really long time. I think maybe like you hit a plateau with Pilates. I don't know. Maybe I should add more springs, but it's just like hard to get yourself to add more springs or weight sometimes. But
that's why I like having an instructor, because she's really good at pushing you. And like, if you think you're doing a good weight, and she's like, hey, do you think you can add a little more? You're kind of like, I'll try, but like, okay. I wouldn't do that on my own. Like, I would just do the normal weight.
Yeah, so I loved it. Honestly, I'm so excited to be doing it, and I'm so excited you introduced me to it. So yeah, we were really in our weightlifting era.
Our protein.
Pilates out, weightlifting in.
Yeah.
Just kidding. We're doing both. But
good to have a good mix. I think it's good for your body to not do the same repetitive thing. So like not just doing weightlifting, not just doing Pilates, like getting a really good mix in, because then it just is really good for your muscles. And I feel like I've finally found my kind of workout routine that I really like. I think I'm doing Pilates like 3 times a week and weightlifting twice a week. And I feel really good with that.
Yeah, that's really good. I feel like, I would just get bored of Pilates. I did get bored of Pilates every single day. It's good to switch it up if you can.
So, love that. So excited. I'm excited. And it's so fun to lift with friends and just like
people really you
know, and to like encourage each other.
Okay, what is your influence of the week?
My influence of the week is kind of still in my head, but I ordered this short sleeve blazer for spring, and I'm really excited about it. So it's not like the vest ones where it's just your shoulder. It's like actually kind of like a short sleeve, so it goes a little bit above your elbow, and then it's just like a normal kind of blazer. But I feel like that's so fun for spring and like is a little different, kind of switch things up, but not still kind of the same. But I haven't gotten it in yet, so I don't know if it's actually gonna look good on me or how I'm gonna feel about it. But right now in my head, I'm really excited about it and excited for kind of like spring, summer.
I feel like I haven't seen that.
Yeah, same, which I was like kind of shocked because I feel like that's such a good spring outfit. And yeah, I feel like a lot of people are kind of skipping spring and just like going to summer.
I know.
I feel like it could be good with either, honestly. But yeah, it's from Dish, if I didn't say that yet. I'm really obsessed with their styles lately. I feel like they have really good, just elevated, chic, staple, like wardrobe staples. And that's like just like what I love. So yeah, I'm hoping it's as cute on in person as it is like in my head, if that makes sense. Like, I hope it translates.
I'm sure it will be.
So yeah, that's kind of my influence this week. Nothing too crazy, but I'm excited. And I feel like another really cute brand that I ordered from recently, a ton of spring summer styles, was because of Alice, that UK brand, Boa.
Yeah, cute.
Just so many cute knit pieces, silk sets, just like basics. Like, I love a good basic. And I feel like I'm going through this kind of purge right now, just getting rid of old clothes that I'm just not gonna wear anymore.
I need to do
make
that.
Room for the new. And when I order new things, it motivates me to get rid of old things, because then I'm like, okay, I don't need this anymore. I have a new one coming. Get rid of these old clothes or like brands that I don't really wear anymore. It like helps me mentally get rid of them when I buy new stuff. So that's what I'm currently doing. And yeah, my influence. So yeah, super fun.
Amazing. Love that.
Okay. So diving into this week's episode, we decided we'll start with taxes first, kind of the not so fun topic. And then we'll do festival talk after that and kind of end with the more fun stuff to talk about, because we all know taxes are not fun. And we just want to put this disclaimer up there that we are not tax professionals, and you should definitely consult your accountant or your tax advisor for their help. But we just wanted to share general tips, and we haven't talked about it obviously in a while. I don't even think we really talked about it last year. So it's been a little bit. So
yeah, we were briefly touching on it. So I feel like it's just good to know, because I've noticed when I'm in groups with content creators, a lot of them don't know exactly what everyone else is doing or what they should be doing, or like a lot of them don't know about these things that we do. So here's just like a little general things that we do.
But, and I think too, if you're like, do I need to do this yet or not? I think a good rule of thumb or kind of area to know is that if you're making $10,000 or less and you have a W-2 situation, or maybe you don't have a W-2 situation, but $10,000 or less, I think you're able to kind of lump that all in together into a Schedule C. That is the form you fill out, is your Schedule C. So most creators who are maybe just starting out, they have their W-2, they file the W-2, and then do the additional, or Schedule Schedule C.
Yeah, Schedule C.
So that's like $10,000 or less. But then I think if you're making $10,000 or more, then it kind of becomes a whole thing that you should really try to stay on top of and organized with. And then that's when I think it's recommended to either register. I feel like most people are registered as an LLC. I'm registered as an S corp because my husband also has an S corp and encouraged me to do the S corp as well when I was just initially signing up. And I feel like this is a good place to really consult your accountant or tax person on which one you should do, because I feel like with my summer buns, I think that's what really kind of played a role in it as well. Having summer buns,
a DBA.
Yeah. So I mean, for me, I'm set up as Alyssa Larson Incorporated, and then I have two DBAs. I have DBA Fashionably Serve, so DBA is doing business as, and then I have DBA Summer Buns under the Alyssa Larson Incorporated umbrella so that I could separate both of them because I didn't want them to be meshed together, basically. Yeah, so that's why I have an S Corp, and they just both come with different types of protections against certain liabilities and all that. So both are totally fine.
Yes, both are fine. I'm an LLC, and I do have two of my businesses kind of meshed together. And I, at first, I didn't think that was, I was doing it wrong, but it's, again, it's like completely up to you and your decision on how you want to structure your business. And you should really talk to a professional when deciding on this. There's pros and cons. And mainly it's like, and mainly it comes down to liability. So like, think about if someone's going to like sue you, what could they take? Okay. And it has to do with how much money your business is making when you're choosing to do LLC or S Corp. So it's good to talk to someone about that. Obviously there is different like tax write-off, limitations or possible, I don't, there's different like write-off situations with each one as well.
And I also think an S Corp is a little more expensive than an LLC when it comes to
S Corp's $1,200 and LLC's $800 per year, I think.
I don't know.
Do you pay $1,200 a year? $800. Oh, okay. Maybe they're the same. I pay $800 a year for California, but, by the way.
Yes, for California, yes. So yes, this is all California tips. Yeah. But it probably could apply to you. You just have to double check with your state and where you are. But obviously the whole point of registering yourself as a business is to truly just help you stay organized and on top of things, and really helps with your expenses and your write-offs because of the types of businesses that we are and kind of in this lifestyle space. It's so beneficial to just set up a separate business bank account for all of your business transactions. So I think what we both have basically done is we signed up for our American Express cards. We just got the normal American Express Platinum, but you can be like, okay, this is my dedicated business card, even though it's not technically the American Express Business Platinum, if that makes sense. We just dedicated this card and we put all of our business charges on it. And then that's how you can kind of keep everything separate. Like, it's so important to keep your business and personal expenses separate and not mix them in, because then it gets really confusing. So if you just completely set up either a separate card or a separate bank account that you are defining as your business account, I feel like that's like a really, really good first step to be doing. And then obviously look into the credit cards, do the research, because you can really just get so many points and benefits from them. You just have to know what you're looking for in terms of benefits, and then which card is kind of the best situation for you.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like a specific card for your business. Yes.
We love our American Express cards. But I feel like another popular one is the Chase Sapphire. And there's also a Capital One, I think it's the Capital One Venture card. I'm not 100% sure. But just find one that works for you with the benefits and keeping all your expenses there. You can also set up a business bank account as well. Or it could just be like a bank account that you literally title your business. But yeah. And then the other big thing too is setting up your EIN, which is your employer identification number, I believe. And that way you put that number on your tax documents instead of your personal social security number. Because I feel like when brands reach out to us and they are requesting for us to send our, I think it's a 1099. They want us to send them W-9. A 10. Okay. Yeah. We send a W-9. You're right. So the brand will ask for the W-9 and then we email it. But I feel like people just be emailing W-9s all over the internet.
I know. I'm not trying to send my social security to like the 20-year-old intern at this like agency. You know, I don't, not that like there's anything wrong with that. It's just like a more sense of security.
Protecting your identity.
Protection. Yes. 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 I wish they were encrypted, but they're not. So,
yeah. So, yes. if you get your EIN, you can use that instead of your social security on your business documents. And then for your personal, it's still your social security number. But yeah, those are the main things that we definitely recommend doing in terms of where to begin or how to start or organizing your taxes for the next year coming up. Maybe you're really growing in your business and you're ready to kind of make that leap. These are the things. So again, registering your business as an LLC or S Corp and setting up a business bank account or just a business credit card, and then setting up your EIN, which I think you can just go online and apply for. I think it's pretty simple to do.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
But yeah, so then once that is kind of done and taken care of and you're established, then the next couple things that we recommend. The first thing that we really, really love is having QuickBooks. I feel like I was opposed to QuickBooks for so long because I was like, oh, I can track my own things. Like, I can just write it all down. And then it became very overwhelming very quickly, and it kind of just became too much. And so QuickBooks was the best thing because you can just connect all your accounts there and it pulls in all the transactions and everything. And then it's just a good way to manage your expenses. You get your profit and loss statements that you need to send to your tax accountants, your balance sheets, etc. And it truly just keeps track of everything so well. Like, I don't know what I was trying to do tracking myself.
No. Yeah. Like the year before we both started with QuickBooks, like, I remember it would take us like a week to,
oh my God,
to put in all of our, like, we were manually, which is fine, but like, it is so much time that you could be saving manually putting in every single expense on every single card into an Excel sheet. And just like making the Excel sheet, honestly, first of all, was a whole thing because you have like all these different columns, and it's just a whole thing. Like, even if you're not making a lot of money, if you are writing off a good amount of stuff, I absolutely recommend QuickBooks. And it seems you can also do it self-managed, but you can hire someone to completely keep track of everything, which is what we do, and we'll talk about that. But it saves so much time. Like, honestly, it is worth every penny.
Yeah, I used to tell myself, like, every year I was gonna be really on top of it, and I would print out my bank statements every month and like stay on top of it, and I never did. So by the time tax season came around, I would literally print out all of my bank statements from the entire year and then go through and highlight different types of expenses and then have to like put those into the Excel sheet and then have to like filter them by types of expense. And I wasn't even getting like the categories of expenses right, and it would take me so long, and it was just such a task. Where I feel like this is just a good way to invest in your business and having the QuickBooks. And then you can also get a bookkeeper, which is the next thing. And they just, if you're really good with numbers and you really like doing these things, I feel like you could totally do this on your own if you wanted to, or you could maybe hire someone to show you how to go in and clean everything up and do it. But if you, I don't know, it just takes so much time, and I just feel like my time is spent better elsewhere. So I would personally rather pay someone to do the bookkeeping to keep everything clean and organized and also be doing it accurately, you know, instead of me going in and making things up is what it would feel like.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty confusing in there. And I know someone who's doing it themselves for a while, but they had to take like 2 to 3 hours every month. No, I think she was doing like 5 hours a month, like having to organize everything. It's just a lot. So this is just one of those things. You're paying for the peace of mind. Like, you're, first of all, this is also an expense you can do with your business. But yeah, we pay for a bookkeeper. Bookkeepers are usually around like $60 to $100, maybe a little bit more per hour. And pretty much what they do is they go into our QuickBooks, which has every single form of payment. Like, all of our credit cards, our Venmo, our PayPal is connected into QuickBooks, and she categorizes every single expense transaction that we have. And she will say if it's income, if it's an expense, if it's personal pay, whatever. And The categories are really important because this is how we send it to our accountant, and everything is just ready to go for them. Now, when tax season comes around, it's so easy, like truly, just having this all taken care of.
And it's, if you keep up with it and you have your bookkeeper doing it throughout the year, like it doesn't seem like such like as big of an expense when you do it that way. Like the first year we had her start and do it, we had her actually go an extra year back into our transactions and like do everything just to make sure it was all being done correctly. And obviously it was a good investment and it was worth it, but it obviously cost a lot more in one chunk to have her do the full year at one time versus doing it monthly-ish for the most part, I would say, and then paying that hourly rate over like the months or whatever. And honestly, every time I pay her, I'm like, oh, this is so worth it. I'm I know, so glad I don't have to be doing this.
Sometimes it feels like the world is moving at hyperspeed and you can't keep up because it's one thing, then another. And don't forget the meeting and the yoga class and the dinner reservation. But then you get into the all-new Nissan Murano and you feel the breeze from the panoramic moonroof while the massaging seats melt away the tension of the day. And you realize that sometimes the greatest rush is not rushing at all. Shop the all-new Murano at NissanUSA.com. Panoramic moonroof massaging leather appointed seats are available features.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Starts tomorrow at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
So I feel like once you get to that point where you're not enjoying it or it's like just not your thing, like maybe you're just not good with numbers, it's not your thing, you want to feel like it's being done right and just being extra careful, like it's definitely, definitely worth the investment. And then literally you just pull these reports that QuickBooks makes and then that's what you give to your accountants, and then your accountant will plug in the numbers when it's tax season and then it's like boom, 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 done. Whereas like when we were doing it, we had to like explain like what the categories were, like what everything was, and it was just very confusing. So it makes things so much easier. And then the next thing is hiring a professional to do your taxes. I feel like when you have a W-2, it's so easy to just use TurboTax or anything similar to that, and you just literally plug and go. But when you become self-employed, it gets a little more complicated, and it's honestly just the safer route to hire a tax accountant. And I feel like when you are looking for a tax accountant, you want to look for someone who is very experienced in the freelance industry. So like maybe they have clients that are hairstylists. I feel like that's a kind of very similar category where, you know, they're freelancing, they're renting chairs at a studio, they have different expenses. It's kind of similar to that. So just any accountant that has experience with freelance or specifically specializes in social media or understands social media, I think you're better off going with someone like that versus kind of like a regular.
Yeah, like, you could just ask them if they've ever. Yeah, like I feel like I would always ask if they've ever worked with a social media person or someone in media or entertainment, because that's also really similar. Same with like models, because then you can feel better about it. I would really ask around if you just have no idea where to start. I would ask around, ask who other girls are using, if their accountants are taking on other clients, and then because a lot of them are remote. So you could just have a remote accountant and that's totally fine. So I would ask around if you don't know where to start and get like a referral based one.
Definitely. Yeah. I feel like it's so different from like when our parents were filing taxes. And
I remember going like into H&R Block.
Like it was sometimes the whole thing. they don't really get it or they don't understand. And it's like you really want your bookkeeper and your tax accountant to really understand kind of like the different categories of expenses that you have things, and you definitely want to have someone who has experience in this space and not just like a standard person, because then they might be like, no, you can't do that, no, that's not a write-off, no, that's like not going to work. You want someone who you can ask why or be like, this is my business. This is what I do. This is how I run it. This is why it's a business expense. And just have someone who's able to understand that and maybe even suggest strategies to you or like how, like the best way to run your business with taxes and everything. So yeah, I think just asking around, getting recommendations and doing that. But yeah, it gets to be a lot and it can be complicated. So it's just better hiring the professionals to do it. And then you feel a lot better when you go to sleep at night.
Yeah, I feel like one of the biggest things also, I just had no idea what to do, was your estimated tax payments. And that's also where your accountant will tell you, based on your income from the year before, it's how much they will be. So yeah, like your estimated tax payments, usually they're every quarter. I had no idea what that meant or how much to pay, but your accountant will tell you based on your income from last year. So that's also why it's really important to have everything super accurate and everything all settled in your QuickBooks with your bookkeeper.
And that payment can also change and be adjusted throughout the year. Yes. So say you're having a really good year, your tax accountant can be like, okay, hey, we need to bump this up based on your numbers. Mm-hmm. Or if maybe things are a little slower, they're like, hey, we can actually cut this down a little since your numbers aren't as big. Like they know kind of what that is. And I'm pretty sure it's the law for people in our industry to be paying taxes quarterly. So you're not supposed to be waiting till the end of the year to pay a large sum of money. You should be making tax payments. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure you can be penalized if you're not. So it's just good to stay on top of it. And again, the tax accountant, well, you're paying them to help you. So that'll really be helpful. But yeah, that's pretty much our tax topics. Oh my God. Tax talk. Those are like the main things. I feel like, again, taxes are due April 15th. So it is very soon. A lot of, if you haven't started yet, definitely start, but I feel like most people have probably started. And also if you don't think you're going to make the deadline, I'm pretty sure you can apply for an extension. So if you need to do that, don't forget to do that. And yeah, so the unfortunately not fun part of running your own business. But I feel like you learn a lot. And honestly, I wouldn't know any of this if I didn't have this job. And I love to be educated and just know. So
yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Now we can dive into the fun of festival season. And I feel like all the festivals are starting up, putting their lineups out. Tickets are literally selling out. So with festival season, I feel like there's a ton of opportunities, whether it comes to brands, trips, activations, collaborations, all that fun stuff. We'll just mainly talk about Coachella and Stagecoach in this one, since those are the ones that are coming right on up. I feel like they got here so quick this year.
They always do, because it's like the year starts and then I feel like Valentine's Day hits and then it's spring for like a little bit and then it's Coachella and then it's summer. That's how it works in Instagram land.
Yeah.
So yeah, it came so fast, literally so fast. It is this weekend. Usually people like so fly in.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like the West Coast's fashion week, honestly. It's like the one thing on the West Coast that people will fly in for, I guess.
Yeah.
Like bloggers or content creators from around, because on the East Coast, that's kind of like New York Fashion Week. But yes, weekend one of Coachella is this weekend. That is the weekend where all of the social media stuff happens and events and brands will attend weekend one, usually to activate. So yeah, weekend one. A lot of the girls, a lot of people, including us, will go for the events over the festival. It's definitely a work trip. I think it's a really good opportunity to network and meet girls you wouldn't usually meet, or meet people in real life, meet brands in real life. Especially for the West Coast girls, I feel like this is our Olympics.
This is our moment.
We don't have New York Fashion Week.
Our time to shine.
Yeah.
And also, too, I feel like it could be confusing because we're like, oh, we're going to Coachella, but we're not actually going into Coachella. Like, we do not have Coachella tickets at the moment. But we are going to the desert. We are staying there for the whole weekend, and we're going to kind of the surrounding events to Coachella. Mm-hmm. And so when people, I mean, some people might actually be going to Coachella for sure. But if people are saying like, oh, we're going to Coachella, that doesn't necessarily mean they have tickets and are going into the festival. And I feel like sometimes people might get confused by that or be like, oh, I have to buy a Coachella ticket to go to Coachella, quote unquote, you know? So just a little tip there.
Yeah.
Danielle's manifesting.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, I'm literally about to put on my story. Like, if someone wants to slide off their wristband, I will literally pay you and just go into Lady Gaga. I literally just want to see Gaga night one. So bad. So we'll see. Like, I really need to. She's not coming, allegedly, to LA or California for her tour. Like, it's not on her tour list. And I'm just like, half of your fans
are here.
Is
she going
to
Lola?
No. She's just going on this, like, small tour. And I'm really, everyone's really confused. Like, I am scared I'm not going to see her. So, like, we'll see.
Okay, I feel like you should definitely post on your stories. Because I feel like there are people who maybe don't care as much. And, like, the other day's better. So you could totally just do that.
Like, I don't know if anyone would be down to just, like, slip their wristband. Like, I will literally give it back.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to wear it to get in. I'm like, I honestly thought about putting that on my story. And I'm like, is Coachella going to send me a cease and desist if I put this on my story? Because I have gotten one before, three years ago. So also last year on TikTok, I remember seeing a video of this girl and she was like allegedly exposing influencers at Coachella last year. And her whole video was like, these influencers are not actually going into the festival. Like, they're not even going into Coachella. And like, she thought she was like really doing something by like exposing these girls at Coachella. And the comments were all like, babe, I thought we knew this. Like, I thought this Love isn't that. Like doing anything. So I don't know. I guess people don't know that. But
just in case, we want you guys to be informed, just so you know. And you can make your educated decisions based on knowing the facts.
Yeah. So, and like, if you don't have a lot going on during the day, like events or whatever, which is completely fine, you could always buy a ticket, go to like a few events during the day, go into the festival at night, which is what I would recommend if this is your first Coachella, because it is so hot. Like, it is literally so hot during the day. So as late as you possibly can push it to go in the festival, I would definitely recommend that.
Yeah, definitely prepare to be exhausted. It is usually it's 100 degrees outside. And I feel like a lot of people don't realize that, or they don't actually know what that means if you've never experienced that kind of heat. For me, I grew up in Arizona, so that was kind of just like the norm, unfortunately. But if you don't know, it gets so hot, and it's, I feel like, so hard with outfits because you want to cute. Like, I want to wear leather and fringe and all these things, but it is just absolutely way too hot for that. So just keep that in mind when you're planning your outfits. If you're actually going to be out and about during the day, walking around, like, stay hydrated, have water, have comfortable shoes. Like, just know, like, wear clothes that are like very like airy, like the air can be flowing, like, because it is hot.
Yeah, I feel like people usually wear cowboy boots or moto boots.
Yeah.
I feel like that's kind of like all people wear now. Like, don't wear an open toe, unfortunately. Like, you will break a toe or a toenail.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
Oh, and another thing too is definitely have a handkerchief to go over your mouth, especially if you're going into the festival, because I remember when we went into Stagecoach, that was my first time actually going into the festival, and Stagecoach is not as busy as Coachella is. Like, it's not as packed and there's not as many people running around. And there was so much dirt in the air at Stagecoach just from that. Like, if we did not have those handkerchiefs, I would not have been able to breathe. Like, it is
truly something. No, it's so essential. Good point. Like, you literally have to have one of these. I think they usually sell them in the festival too, but you will get like so sick, very, very sick if you don't have a bandana or a handkerchief.
Oh my God, wait, remember last year I literally got sick after Coachella, was sick for a whole week, and then rallied for Stagecoach. Crazy times.
I think a lot of the sickness does have to do with like dust in your lungs. There's just dust everywhere. You just,
And I didn't even go into Coachella. Yourself. It's just in the Palm Springs area, basically, because it's so windy, too. So it's like at night, it's really windy. So the dust is flying around and you're just inhaling it if you're not aware. So definitely keep that in mind. And then obviously sunscreen, like so much sunscreen. The sun is so strong. It's so bright. It's so hot. Like you do not want to burn. So those are the main kind of preparation things we would say. And then in terms of just going to events or getting in, I feel like it's very typical to any kind of brand event where you can put it in your bio so brands can see that you're going. If they're looking for specific creators going to Coachella, you can also email PR companies that you work with and ask if they're activating at all and you would love to attend, see if they're having any events, gifting for Coachella ahead of time. Maybe they're renting a house at Coachella to do gifting. Like a lot of things kind of go on during this time. I feel like this is literally the first year I don't think I went to a single Coachella gifting event.
This time of year is usually like actually crazy.
Did not have it in me, and I'm honestly trying to purge my house and not add more clutter to it. So I was like, I just can't even go, otherwise I'll bring home all the things and I just don't need those things right now. So really set a boundary for myself, and I feel like it's good that LA is kind of far, so then I wasn't super tempted, you know?
Yeah, like last year, two years ago, we would be in LA multiple times a week leading up to Coachella. And
going to every single event.
Yes. So if you are in LA and you don't, if you're not getting these invites, I would definitely reach out to the PR brands around LA or just like the bigger PR brands, because they're probably working with a client that is activating in some sort of way for Coachella. And if also that applies to like anyone out of state, if you wanted to come to the West Coast for a few days before Coachella, there's definitely things happening. There's usually gifting suites, festival houses, like festival themed events, things like that. I'll never forget 2 years ago, Revolve had the most iconic one. It was the Paris Hilton like send off to the desert, and we got to meet Paris, and that was just so iconic.
She's so great.
Yeah. So it can be a really fun week leading up to Coachella in LA.
Yeah. And again, like we said earlier, there's so many different types of opportunities. So again, it can be very lucrative for content creators. And I feel like it's great because you can set the tone for what you want your weekend to look like. You can either be super busy, have all the things to go to, RSVP to every single party, or you can kind of be more chill, lay by the pool, go to an event here and there, go into the festival at night. Maybe like you really can like pick what you want your weekend to look like. And I really like that. So I feel like there's a lot of brands that will do specific festival drops for festival outfits, and some pay. I feel like I honestly haven't seen much lately. A lot of gifting for sure. Like a lot of brands do.
Yeah, I feel like 2 years ago was maybe even before COVID. Like Coachella was in its prime.
Yes.
Like everyone would have, like you would get paid so much money. Like brands would really lean into Coachella. I feel like it was at its peak. Like people, I don't know. It still is really lucrative for girls, but I think it's definitely died down a little bit with how much brands are like prioritizing their drops and their paid campaigns. Well,
I think Coachella also like really started cracking down too, because if you didn't know, you technically can't use the term Coachella in sponsored content unless the brand is paying basically like licensing fees to use Coachella. So 1 year, it was actually the year it got canceled, I did a collaboration with a water bottle, and it was like the water bottle and it had the Coachella logo on it and it said Coachella on it. So it was just like very much Coachella, but that was like before the event, and then it got canceled, which was a really sad crazy year. But if brands are asking you to, you know, post about Coachella or post inside the festival, just know that they have to have specific permission. So I would double check with the brand and make sure they got approval from Coachella to be able to shoot inside the festival or have a caption that mentions the festival, because I feel like the brands and you can get in a lot of trouble by doing that. And that's how we got our cease and desist letters a couple years ago, is because we were using Coachella in a non-approved way, basically. And I feel like basically anything you do is not approved because they don't approve anything. So unless the brand you're working with is like, we are partnering directly with Coachella for this, this is approved, then usually you can't even shoot content on the festival grounds.
Yeah, and you can let brands know that because some of them have no clue. And then what you don't want to happen is like you get this collab, you shoot it at Coachella, it goes live, and then all of a sudden it's flagged by Coachella. You have to take it down. And then the brand is like, oh, the campaign is canceled. Like, we're not paying. Like, you know, you don't want that to happen. So just always make sure we have.
Yeah.
I remember telling a brand that like 2 years ago and they did not know. Oh.
Yeah. And then they can go double check and then they'll probably discover that they are not approved. And then you save everyone the trouble of dealing with that, because it can be. I feel like for the most part now, brands pretty much know that. So just be aware and double check those things. I feel like I remember the OG Coachella era with like the bright colors and like the, like, remember your iconic photo? I think it's in the red outfit.
Yes, I remember with the
those were the days you could Paris gain wheel. Instagram followers like crazy during this weekend with like insane outfits.
Yeah, it was such a time. Iconic. I kind of miss that. I wish it never like died down. I just
that
feel
was
like
the boho lacy vibes for Coachella.
Yeah,
the OG.
Oh my god,
days.
That was honestly, that was such a fun year. For some reason, after that, the hype started. I think it's just the lineup started getting like not as good, and then Coachella got too comfortable, and then like other festivals started creeping up, and some like other festivals are a lot better when Coachella used to be like the holy grail of festivals, like that was the lineup. But now there's so many festivals out there, so it's just not the same. But that was such a time, like truly.
Good
so iconic
times, good times. But yeah, I feel like because it is so soon now, I feel like most of the pre-festival events have pretty much happened, because now brands are kind of packing up and getting ready to go activate in the desert. So I feel like if you've seen events from last year, or you know of certain events that are happening, you can always DM the brand and try to get invites that way, or see who's going in your friend group. I feel like a lot of times these events give plus ones, and so sometimes there's a lot of extra plus ones kind of floating around. So
yeah,
that's another way. I feel like kind of things that we know about is obviously Revolve Festival. They've been doing things for the past couple years. It has been getting smaller and smaller each year. Like, 1 year they did it at this huge estate. It was 2 days, like had a whole
that was kind of crazy
thing. But each year it's gotten smaller, but they still kind of do their own thing. So I feel like if you have a Revolve contact, just, you know, reaching out to them and seeing what the availability is for that. From what I've heard now, it is at capacity, but you never know. You can always reach out.
Yeah,
it never hurts to ask. I feel like you don't get what you don't ask for, my favorite mantra. So you can always reach out to see if there's been any last minute cancellations. I feel like 818 has their thing going on, which is so interesting to me because it's literally in the middle of the day when it's the hottest part of the day, and I'm just like, why are you doing it at this time? But 818,
hopefully it's shaded.
Heard that Celsius is not doing anything this year, which is crazy because I feel like Celsius was just as big as Revolve with like the amount of people attending and their performers. So like very curious about that business decision and why they're not activating, because we saw T-Pain there and he was so good. T-Pain is literally my favorite, so trying to see him anywhere.
I think he's on the lineup this year, so
I think I did see that. Kind of crazy. Good for him. He deserves it, Slay. And I think, I'm trying to think of any other of the main events. I don't really think we've heard of anything else yet, but a lot of things kind of pop up last minute. There was what's that other thing? Desert Gallery House or something? You can like RSVP to different events for.
Yeah. I don't really know what that is,
but I don't really know what that
some
is.
Sort of big Yeah.
Yeah, my strategy is just RSVP to everything and then kind of decide what we want to do. So those are the main things. I don't know about Poosh either. Haven't really heard much or seen much. So still TBD on that. Yeah, I feel like those are kind of the big activators who usually do something. So yeah, it's kind of like a whole thing. It's a whole weekend. It's like crazy. Oh, remember Pretty Little Thing did like a whole thing last year too?
Oh.
Like a gifting
suite. Yeah, I feel like each year it kind of dwindles down to smaller and smaller and smaller. Because there was a lot of
activations. And that's another good reminder is like a lot of the times too, a lot of these places don't have parking available when you go to these events. And so always double check and make sure to see if you're able to park on site or if you need to use rideshare, because I remember we drove to an event last year and there was just no parking. And some of the events are in areas where they're literally just gated neighborhoods and there's nowhere you can park. And then if you go to a grocery store nearby, they have literally security guards in there being like, if you park here, you will get towed, and then they tow your car. So just be very aware of that situation. Yeah, it doesn't hurt to ask brands like, hey, can I drive? Mm-hmm. Is there parking or is rideshare only? I feel like a lot of brands are very specific. So that's good too. Yeah. But just another heads up from things that we've learned from over the years that we've been, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm excited this year, but I feel like this might be my last year. Like I'm just, you know,
getting to that point. I say that every year and then it comes around and you're just like, okay
one
like,
more year,
not really doing anything. Yeah. But it really is dwindling like every single year. I just feel like festivals aren't as like there, it's not as like shiny as it once used to be because there are so many, but it's still such a fun thing on the West Coast. Definitely fun to experience.
And if you've never been, it's something really fun to do. Get a group of friends together, rent a house together, split the costs, hang out with your friends for the desert in the weekend, get some fun content.
It's like such a fun weekend, honestly.
And I feel like you make really good memories at these kinds of things, whether like good things happen, bad things happen. You get good stories out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like it could definitely be worth it. So, and then just with Stagecoach, it's pretty much the same thing as Coachella, just honestly way more low-key. Like brands I feel like are starting to activate because I feel like they're really leaning into Western country themed things, but it's still definitely not as big as Coachella at all. And like that's why we actually went to the festival last year, because there weren't as many events or things to do, and honestly it was so fun. So but I mean there were still some events and activations and things that we did, so there were still things to do while we were there.
It's so just like not as work heavy, like it's
right.
There's definitely some,
but if you're into country and love the good vibes and want to just go hang out, do a couple events here, go listen to the country music, I feel like it's such a good environment for that. It's just so fun. So yeah, that's pretty much it on festival season, Coachella, Stagecoach. That's all the ones I really know. Danielle goes to Lolla every year, right?
I love going to Lollapalooza. This year, Josh and I can't even remember if I told you this. We didn't get tickets. I think I did tell you this. We waited in an hour for tickets because the lineup's actually really, really good this year. And we didn't get it, but it's so fun.
Like
to
you
go
went to sign
one
up
has,
right when they released and did not get them.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I have a friend who got them. It was like the Eras tour.
That is crazy.
Like we waited in line, didn't get it. But yeah, that festival is really good and really fun. But there are absolutely no brand activations. I mean, maybe for the very, very local Chicago girls.
Yeah.
I did see go to like some things, but I think there's just so many now that it's the brands don't know like where to activate, and it's more like local content creator focused. I feel like this is the main one, Coachella and Stagecoach. So
I don't know. I feel like with Lolla, like the lineup last year, the one that you went to looked insane. Like
it was
so
insane.
Good. Like,
honestly,
insane.
That one was crazy, and I think people saw that and that drove the hype for this year, and then they did come out with a really good lineup, and then everyone was like, I'm going. So same. I think that happened, but...
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I feel like there's a ton of festivals throughout the year. And I think if you plan ahead and you know you're going, you can definitely reach out to brands and say, hey, I'm going to this festival. Would love to feature some of your pieces in my looks, whether it's like shoes, clothing, accessories, sunglasses, whatever. And like you can really pitch ahead of time so that way the brand can see what the vibes are, if they're going to activate, if they do want to do partnerships there. And at least they know you're going, and that opens the door for opportunities to come your way. So yeah. I would definitely pitch, because I feel like brands love a good moment. Like they love a good dedicated moment to something instead of kind of just random partnerships here and there. Like if there's a moment to do something, I feel like they're there for that. So definitely keep that in mind throughout festival season and any festivals that you're going to. But pretty much that's like a wrap on all the things festival and taxes. So
what a combo, festival and taxes.
Honestly, I feel like we had to do a little business, a little fun, so that it wasn't too boring for you guys. But hopefully this episode helped with some tips or ways to approach, you know, taxes or festival season. I feel like that's going to be like a really funny title for this episode.
I know.
But yeah, we just always want to share the tips and tricks and all the insider knowledge that we have with you guys, so you can be the most prepared for these things. So I think that's a wrap on this week's episode this week. Thank you guys for listening, and we love you so much. Hope you have a great week, and we will chat in the next episode. Bye guys.
Bye. Thanks so much for listening. We hope you guys loved this episode.
Don't forget to subscribe for new episodes every Monday. Leave us a rating and review, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.